From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. Oh my gosh, almost fall. Almost fall in Michigan. We're getting the cooler temperatures. Leaves are changing a little bit. Rain's coming, but you know, what the heck you do? Very happy to have you here again, like I said, on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the Great Lakes State, all over the world, on our website, wildmichiganradio.com is where you can find us. And we've got some big news coming up next week. I believe the date will be the 15th. Our friends, Not Just Guns, Cedar Street 127 in Mason, have their biggest auction ever going on. Over 2,000 items, including firearms, everyday carry, knives, optics, ammunition, apparel, whatever it's going to go on auction, they're going to have it. It's going to be their biggest one ever. Okay, notjustguns.com. Check them out online. You'll get all the information there, but do so now so you're ready for this auction. 2,000 plus items going up for auction. And if you're wherever you're listening to us, they can get you what you order. They will do the paperwork. Make sure your firearm gets to an FFL approved facility, no matter where you're at in the country or the world, and they'll take care of you. Okay, know that you will be handled properly by our friends at Not Just Guns in Mason, Michigan. Also, our friends at Conquest Sense, makers of Evercalm and VS1, and we will have lots of information about when the right time to use that Evercalm. Use it anytime, and lots of other great products on there as well. ConquestSense.com. All links on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Now, we're going to do some TikTok, and this is where I wish I had some snobby English guy to introduce. Welcome back to TikTok. Time now to speak to Brian Anderson about the tick. That's how I envision it to go, but no, it's just me. Brian, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great, Durant. Always fun to talk to you about ticks.
It is fun because, you know, I've got friends we call the tick magnet, and you know all about ticks, and you know they're not going away. I'm sure we've had a bountiful year full of them because conditions have been right, but they stick around a little bit longer, and we are more susceptible as men and women of the outdoors than the average person.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, people who like going outdoors are always going to be more susceptible, that is for sure. And ticks, you got to remember that I say from snow melt to when snow comes. So, I mean, a lot of times people may forget that there may be an issue this time of year. They may think they're more for the spring and the summertime. But those little blood-sucking varmints are out, you know, until... I mean, I treat my deer hunting clothes for November because I never know... I live in the Iron Mountain here in the UP. I never know if it's going to be 50 degrees, which is plenty easy tick time, or if it's going to be 5 degrees or 10 below. I don't know. I've seen everything, you know?
Sure.
So this fall is definitely a time to be, you know, on the lookout and prevention. You know, definitely. Absolutely.
Now, we cover a lot of ground come fall, whether we're out foraging, getting out into the tree stand or the blind, or, you know, maybe we're tucking in, or maybe we're fishing the banks for steelhead or trout or something. We are in their territory. So, you know, we are basically hosts waiting for somebody to jump on and say, hey, mealtime.
That's right. I mean, so let's say you're a fisherman. You like fishing streams and creeks, you know, and you're walking through tall brush to get there. All right. You don't have the waders on. So let's say you're just in your jeans. Well, you better be prepared because they're going to still be out there. Definitely. I mean, like you said, let's say bird hunters, all right? Let's say you're even training your with your dogs in the summertime, still training your dogs to go out hunting grouse or whatever it may be this fall. You're in their habitat. So you need to be thinking about that. And like deer hunters, whitetail. I mean, I'm a avid whitetail hunter for November 15th. It's like a holiday here. And people are looking at their food plots even right now. They're sure. going out and looking at their blinds because they're getting, hey, it's kind of fall is in the air here, even though it's a little warm right now, but it's going to be cooling off in the next couple of days. They're walking through tick habitat. And whether you're archery hunting this fall or rifle hunting, going to deer camp, because you're out there, maybe your deer camp is only, you use it only in the fall. You don't even use it in the summertime. You're out there sprucing it up, looking around, you know? That's where they're going to be. They're out there.
Now, what types of, I mean, because we know things tend to dry out a little bit. We have, you know, some rains that come through in late September, October, before we start getting the snow. But what is their preferred type of ground cover?
They like grasses, tall grass. And low-lying vegetation, all right? Remember, I always remind people, ticks do not jump, they don't fly, they don't drop out of trees. They do what they call as questing. They sit in a blade of grass. They have eight legs. Six of those legs, they wrap around that blade of grass. And the other two, they sit, you know, out. That's kind of like their sensors, all right? They sense our CO2 that we breathe out, whether it's animals or us. They sense smells like urine, like moisture, like sweat smells, things mm-hmm. like that. They sense those, and they're ready when that comes. When we brush by them, that's why they latch on. They are disgusting hitchhikers. They don't ask permission. They just get on and look around for a nice warm spot to suck our blood.
You know. Yeah, I'm just so many things I could follow up with that, but you know, I try and stay neutral, and leave leave people I know out of this, but they're arachnids, you know, because they have the eight legs, they have the ability to
That's right.
To bite us and put that little sucking straw thing that they have in us without us knowing, because they have that ability to inject what. Is the name that I always forget.
I cannot remember the name of it, but God gave them. So I just call it spit and saliva, all right?
Right.
I'm really a blunt guy. I'm no PhD, you know, in entomology, which is I'm not, but it's wonderful if somebody is. But God gave them a special spit that they spit on us. So unlike a mosquito that we can feel, we can't feel when a tick bites us. So they're so stealthy, you know, like a stealth bomber, secretive. We can barely feel them when they walk on our skin. But yeah, then they spit that on us when they find a good spot. And we don't even know if we get bit. Oh, my gosh. It's aggravating. But that's why it's so important to do tick checks, you know, which we can talk about, too.
Absolutely.
Very important.
It is, you know, I mean, and I'm going to go back to my good friend Russ Bartel, who we call him the Clayton Crippler for pheasant hunting reasons. We call him the tick magnet because in the UP, he seemed to attract like six of them when we were just bass fishing in the bank of a river on some tall field or tall grass. You know, I mean, they can get on you without you knowing. And the only reason I even knew I had one on me is because it woke me up crawling up the back of my neck. If that doesn't make you squirm just a little bit, wait. We'll talk more with Brian Anderson on TikTok here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hi, this is Cuz Strickland with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here again on the show. Thanks to our guest from the first hour, Chad Stewart from the Michigan DNR. Also, Tom Nelson, host of the American Archer. Both of them very important because Chad had brought more information on a story we broke to you first here on the show ahead of the press releases and everybody else. We were very fortunate to talk about the mandatory deer checks that'll be going on, and you can do it through the great app that the Michigan DNR has. Download that, do it online. It's something that this state has been, you know, we're last to do it, so, you know, you might as well, right? It's only going to help everybody in the long run. And, of course, Tom Nelson, the 2022 inductee to the Bass Pro Shops Legend of the Outdoors Hall of Fame. So thank our friends at Not Just Guns, also Conquest Scents. And we have Brian Anderson, the Tick Terminator, joining us, and we're doing a little tick talk about how they last into fall. Brian, when we get to those freezing months, they have to, I'm assuming, burrow down or get themselves below ground level to survive, especially some of the harsh winters we have here in Michigan. But really, how are they doing it?
Well, what they do is they dive down underneath the leaf litter, okay, kind of on the ground. And the God gave them a special little enzyme also for this year, too, that kind of acts like antifreeze in their body. And then when snow comes over, we know that snow is an incredible insulator. So they're going to go down there, and they will basically be a little dormant for the winter. However, sometimes we have a January thaw, February thaw, where it gets about maybe 50 degrees for a day or two. And they think, hey, it's springtime, baby. Let's come out. So sometimes they pop up out of their little burrow. And they get stuck on a dog or some kind of animal, not very often humans, but they may come up just for those couple of days, then they go back down again. So, yeah, they don't die off like we would hope they do, because it'd have to be like 45, 50 below with no snow for 4 months at a time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's almost never happens. I mean, but the only place they really don't have them is up in the Arctic, let's say way up in the Yukon and Alaska area. There's hardly any ticks up there to speak of.
Yeah, no kidding.
There's a tundra out there, so.
Right. Not much area for them to really live, I mean, as far as how things are up there.
For sure.
But you know, again, they can cause, if you are bitten, I mean, there are several different types of diseases, and this is not just a short-term illness. Lyme's disease can be something that's very long-term and very detrimental to your health.
Absolutely. I mean, there's about 400,000 new Lyme disease cases every year in the United States. You know, put that in perspective, that's 1.5 times the number of women diagnosed with breast cancer, 6 times the number of people diagnosed with AIDS. So, I mean, it's a big problem out there, bigger than most people realize. And it can be just debilitating. I mean, that's why I am all about prevention, prevention, prevention. If you can keep a tick off, you can't get bit, you can't get bit, you can't get Lyme or any other tick-borne disease. They have a disease called Alpha-Gal syndrome that's more in the southeast, you know, Virginia, North and South Carolina, in that area, where you get that, you're allergic to red meat for the rest of your life. Think of that. No venison, no hamburger, no steak, ever. Or you go into anaphylactic shock sometimes.
That's just damn wrong. Really sucks. I mean,
I know. It's terrible.
Forced to be a vegan.
All about doing daily tick checks, even in the best of circumstances. And, you know, so we want to get into prevention now. Permethrin is by far, without question, the number one go-to product to spray on clothes and gear and ticks. It drives them nuts. Here's how it works. It's called a contact repellent, different than DEET. DEET works by the scent, the smell, the aroma. It confuses the mosquito's brain and tells them there's no blood there, so they fly off. But permethrin, when it's dry, is odorless, so hunters like it too. And they don't notice till they come in contact with a tick crawling up your pants. And if they're on a permethrin-treated apparel for, let's say, a minute or longer, or even sometimes less, they're going to die because it drives their nervous system crazy. They can't stand it, you know? And we don't even notice it. So permethrin is the best that you can possibly use out there for prevention against ticks. It's the go-to product, no question about it.
You know, and I've had, you know, I've had a lot of friends, like my friend Russ, that, that has used it bear hunting up in Canada, where those things can be just absolutely thick. And of course, we have introduced you to Tom Nelson, the gentleman that was on just before you, to it as well. And you say he's been quite taken by it.
Oh, he loved it. He did a nice little video for me, even how successful he was. He was the only one at his camp at that time that didn't get any kicks on him because he used the permethrin. So it was great. I mean, we have it right on my website. You can go right to my website, theticterminator.com, and get it right there. You can mix it yourself. You can make it last for 3 weeks or 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 24 weeks. It puts you in control, what I like, you know. Everybody likes control.
So. Absolutely, especially with those little critters, man. I'm not a big fan of them at all. And there are several different variations of ticks, several different species of them.
Yeah, we have right here the deer tick, which is the one that carries Lyme disease. It's actually called a black-legged tick, eastern black-legged, and they have western black-legged. So we have the deer tick. Then we also have the Lone Star tick, which has a little white dot on it. And then we have the American dog tick, which we affectionately call the wood tick. Those are the three that we have, and they can each carry something bad. Ticks sometimes carry more than one issue, you know, more than one germ, if you want to call it, or disease. So you never know. You want to keep them off you because they don't advertise what they carry. So
No.
That's,
now,
oh, my gosh.
Should we get bit by a tick, speaking with Brian Anderson, the Tick Terminator here, I know there are ways to remove them, and if we're worried about Lyme disease or something else, there are ways to get them tested.
Yes, definitely. If you get bit by a tick, the way you take it off, the way you remove it, is important. You want to be gentle with it when you remove it. A fine tip tweezers right at the very base of the skin is the best way to take it off. If you grab it by the body, which we have all done, myself included, when you grab it by the body, you may squeeze it and it may puke the bad stuff in you, which you don't want right at the time where you're taking it off. You know what I mean? So, you know, take it off gently. And after that, I don't care if you send it for testing. I don't care if you shoot it with a 30-06, you know, but be gentle when you take it off, you know. The sooner you take it off, the better also. The longer it is on you, the more apt it is to give you bad stuff. We'll call it that way. How's that? Watch for symptoms. If you have, flu-like symptoms, achy joints, if it gets infected somehow, if it looks bad, a bad reaction, see a doctor within a few days. And hopefully they will put you on a typical antibiotic. I'm not a doctor. I don't play on a TV. I can't think of the name of it right now. Doxycycline, that's the common one, and it's all about getting taken care of in the beginning. You don't want to let this fester in your body because it only gets worse. So
all right.
Watch those symptoms.
Brian Anderson, TickTerminator.com. Thank you for joining us here on the Conquest Sense Hotline. Real quickly, I know you got a poem to give us.
Here it goes. Ticks suck. They really do. Sometimes on me, sometimes on you. To stop those buggers, you must prepare. Tall grass and woods are everywhere. They're getting worse as temperatures rise. So this word of precaution should be no surprise. Now be the Boy Scout and always think ahead. Use permethrin and kill them dead.
Fantastic. You get it all right here. It's Wild Michigan being brought to you by Not Just Guns. Check them out online, notjustguns.com and conquestsense.com. More to come your way next.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts. All from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. Thanks to Richard P. Smith for joining us. 30 books, already has number 31 about done. He is the Baskin Robbins of authors. I'm telling you. We are being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns. Happy to have them on board again, man. NotJustGuns.com. Check them out. Look for your everyday carry stuff. Maybe you're looking for some knives. Maybe looking for ammunition, reloading stuff. Whatever you need, Not Just Guns has it. And you want to build your own AR platform firearm? they can help you do that too. So check them out, notjustguns.com, and they are helping us stay on the air for you today. Wild Michigan is our name. I'm Duran Martinez. David A. Rose Sudsy is joining us right now, and we're not going to go into detail, but David, how are you, sir?
You know, I'm good. I'm good. I had a wonderful week last week. I was up in the Canadian bush. I was up in the Arctic watershed catching pike and walleye on a fly-in trip. So, you know, it was kind of nice to get back to normal and be one with Mother Nature in the middle of it all.
That's pretty cool. I've never done the fly-in. I've hunted and I fished Canada like a lot of people in Michigan do, because they're our neighbors. They're across the tunnel or over the bridge into the northern portion of our state. But we are so lucky to have access to that. But when you take that fly-in trip, that's a completely different thing. I mean, that's a whole other world when you get flown in.
Yeah, you know, it is. I mean, you have to really watch what you're taking. You're only allowed, you know, especially with gas prices and, you know, for those de Havilland Beavers and stuff like that, they get, what, you know, half a mile to the gallon kind of thing. And, yeah, you have to, they weigh you, and then you're allowed, what was it, 300 pounds total, including yourself. And then they're going to start giving you a surcharge. So you really have, number one, you need to go on a diet before you go. And then number two, yeah, you really got to pay attention to what you're taking. You are in the middle of nowhere, so you want everything, but at the same time, you can only take so much. So it's a really unique experience. It makes you think.
See, it does. It just made me think, because right now I'm a human surcharge, and if I take anything, well, it's going to get expensive.
Yeah, it's 75 cents a pound after that. So basically, just give yourself a dollar a pound, because you're going to tip the guy too. So, hey, a dollar a pound, everything over 300 pounds. It can get costly, but at the same time, when you do it right, it's all part of the experience, and it's a great thing.
Well, you know what? I'm going to have to do like I did here a few years ago and lose the weight, so I won't start the trip off in the hole. And you've got to be feeling good about yourself, because you've already done that. You've taken like a whole surcharge off.
At one time I would have been over the allotted amount of weight just in myself, and now I'm not. Yeah, I lost 130 pounds in 1 year back in 2018. You know, I bounced back and forth between 20 pounds here and 20 pounds off and 20 pounds here and 20. So, you know, I'm at that stage where I'm. But yeah, it's amazing. In fact, I took a picture and I was going to post it on social media. You know, flying in is a lot easier as a smaller person, because I actually fit in the seat better, you know, in these tiny airplanes that are landing on the water.
No, I get it, man. And if you've ever, and I'm going to say this from personal experience, because I did that whole thing. I misplaced the 100 pounds and then I found it again. So, you know, but it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time to take it off. I'm back down 13 pounds now, which I'm really happy about. My wife and I are just,
nice.
We have changed everything again. And, you know, we cook at home, we eat at home, we, you know, all of these things we've changed. So, look, if you're going through it, you're not going through it alone. You can always contact me about this stuff, too. We're not using any fancy anything. We've just done this change. And believe me, in that month that we've done this change, it's just so much better. Everything's so much better. But
it is. And it's one of the great things about being a sportsman here in Michigan. I mean, obviously, we can deer hunt, we can turkey hunt, we can catch fish, and we can get some of the healthiest food on the planet without having to go to the grocery store. Yes, I mean, it's expensive to fish, and nowadays with gas prices and this and that and everything else, but you're getting the healthiest food. And that's one of the great things about being a hunter and angler in Michigan is, you know, we have the resource to eat some of the best food on the planet.
And if you like fish, especially if you're like a pescatarian, this is the place to be, because right about now we've got salmon that are getting ready to start stacking up and head up the rivers. We had conversation last week that they're getting some of those fish up into the rivers now, and we have a cooler week coming in next week. Now, mind you, that's not going to do a lot for temperature change in the water, but it'll start that process.
Yeah, the process has actually been started pretty good. Here in the Traverse City area where I'm at, we've had 5.5 inches of rain in 6 days. I mean, we went from a drought, and what happens is, you know, you get these low-pressure systems, you get all that water running through, and there's actually a lot of salmon that have entered a lot of these rivers, the Big Manistee, all that kind of stuff, and these fish are hot. I mean, you hook one, you got to hang on for your dear life, because I'll tell you what, those fish are ticked. They were just in 200, 300 foot of water, and now they're in, you know, 5 foot of water in a river, and yeah, they got all the gumption in the world, and what a great fight.
They are. They really are. And this early in the game, David, how are we, you know, what tactics are we using to fish for them?
You know, it's interesting. You know, when we're out there trolling and whatnot, we're using, you know, spoons. We're using J-plugs, you know, the body baits that waggle back and forth. And that same kind of stuff is still going to take fish. So, you know, big inline spinners, maybe a spoon. But, you know, a lot of lures, like I know, you know, the Storm lures and whatnot, these deep divers, bomber lures, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, these body baits, when you cast and retrieve, this is really what turns those fish on, and they will let you know. They will grab onto that lure, and you better have good hooks on, because it's going to be a fight.
Right. You might want to change out your hooks that come from the factory, unless they're putting on really good hooks to begin with, or make sure they're good and sharp, because you're definitely going to want to hang on to that fish. You know, you get into something, you know, anything from king, coho, steelhead, whatever, it's going to give you a run for your money.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. And what I do is I usually use the factory hooks, you know, that come with it right off the bat, but then I end up changing them out mid-year because, yeah, those salmon, I mean, they hit, they pull, you know, you're unhooking it, the hook can turn bad in no time. So, but yeah, you replace your hooks with some good quality, you know, heavy-duty hooks and stuff like that. Make sure they're razor sharp. And it's amazing how many fish you can land in these river systems on these body baits.
David A. Rose is joining us here on the Conquest Sense Hotline up in the Traverse City area. He's an outdoor writer and avid angler. What's been your best? Let's talk real quickly. Best fish for you this year? And I gotta have an idea.
You know the best. You know, walleye has been my. I've got, how's this? I was in Canada, and we buy the conservation license, meaning we only keep half as many, because I got a lot of fish in the freezer. I got a lot of walleye in the freezer. I try not to freeze too much fish too long. So walleye has been good for me. I was on the Detroit River this year. I was in the Saginaw River this year. I was up on Little Bay to Knock. And so, yeah, the walleye fishery has been good to me.
Good. That's fantastic. It's been good to everybody for quite some time now, and there's no sign of that in sight, which is fantastic. We're speaking right now with David A. Rose. We're going to talk more with David here in a few minutes. David, if you don't mind hanging on, we'd appreciate it. We're going to see how the big lakes are going on right now and what to expect come fall, which is not that far away. I mean, what, we're almost halfway to September? I'm getting all bristled up thinking about it. It's Wild Michigan. We're being brought to you by Not Just Guns and Conquest Sense. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism.
Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here. Happy to be anywhere, being heard, whether it's on our podcast or our affiliates. We appreciate everybody checking in. And we are just moving through this show today. First couple of segments was with Richard P. Smith, noted outdoor author. New book from Richard, book number 30, The Great Michigan Deer Tales, book number 8 is out. And, of course, another one on the way, another book. And we'll talk to Richard as soon as that one hits the press. But right now we are speaking to outdoor writer and all-around good guy, David A. Rose, right now. David, real quickly, we've dealt with this. I'm going to say the old way and not the new way, because we have to be correct about things. The Asian carp issue, as they did come from Asian territory, an invasive species now known as invasive carp. They're talking about finding them past the electric barrier now, and concern for the Great Lakes, which has always been there. First, we found DNA. Now we've actually had like one of the grass carp or the silver carp come through. But still they say no need to panic just yet. And I'm not panicking, because
right.
I'm still thinking that something will eat them in their smaller states.
Right. And those particular carp, they are plankton eaters at the moment. And when I say at the moment, I talk to biologists, and you remember Jurassic Park and how nature has a way to change and all that kind of stuff. Biologists feel that this could actually kind of happen with these carp. But right now, these particular carp you're talking about, they're plankton eaters. So they live in these muddier waters, dirtier waters, because they're able to filter all that plankton and stuff like that. So I can see it. I can see this being a problem maybe in the future, like in Saginaw Bay, the, Tittabawassee River, all that kind of stuff, where the water is not as crystal clear as it is here in the Traverse City area. Mm-hmm. I mean, we actually kind of have the opposite. We don't. The water is so clean and so neutral that we don't have a lot of that, plankton and stuff like that. So maybe the carp will move on through Lake Michigan, but they're going to get into those dirtier waters. Obviously, Lake Erie, any of these waters that are that have a lot of nutrients in them.
Yeah, it's something that we've been watching this since day one. This whole thing could have been pretty much prevented. Let's not use them first.
Oh, there's no doubt. Well, yeah. Well, and they were brought as a food source, in the southern states, and that's how this whole thing started. Is they were raising these fish in ponds, and then of course Mother Nature kicks in and the floods the rivers and floods this, and these fish get out. They mm-hmm. got out of their pens and they got into the Mississippi River, and now they're here. And unfortunately, Lake Michigan, for an example, all the Great Lakes, we're under siege when it comes to all these invasive species. Anything from gobies to, quagga mussels, zebra mussels, this mussel, that mussel, spiny water fleas. There's going to be more to come, and it's an unfortunate situation, but it is, it is drastically changing the Great Lakes and just the entire environment of it and the fishery.
David A. Rose is our guest here on the Conquest Sense Hotline. David, I always reference this. An old Michigan conservation magazine that I have references the alewives as an invasive species. And all of a sudden, we're depending on this invasive species because they became a food source for our salmon.
Yeah, it was 1967. Before that, we didn't have salmon in the Great Lakes. And that was when the first run of coho came up the Platte River. We had all these, biologists and all that kind of stuff, Tanner and all that. They figured out, hey, these are pelagic fish. And if you don't know what pelagic is, basically it means living in the upper echelons of the water column. So that's what Chinook are. Chinook depend on pelagic. Chinook are pelagic, and they depend on pelagic fish to eat, such as the alewife. And, so we've gone from this, an invasive species of what are we going to do, to now being so dependent, a billion-dollar industry in the salmon fishery here in the Great Lakes.
And the other thing people don't realize, too, speaking with David A. Rose here in Wild Michigan, David, is the European carp we have in our river systems was brought over as a food source for the people moving here.
Yeah, carp, were not native to the Americas.
No, you know, they weren't.
That common carp that we see in the rivers and all that kind of stuff. You know, in England, they love to fish for them. They're like, you know, on the holy grail of fish, you know, on the other side of the world. But here, they're common, and we call them the common carp. And, yeah, they were not from here. There's actually, I really studied this for some articles and stuff like that. There are very few native fish here in Michigan. Even walleye and smallmouth were always here. Some walleye, that's really expanded. Even brook trout. We think brook trout, the native fish of Michigan, right? That's the Michigan state fish, brook trout. But here at the 45th parallel, Traverse City area, they weren't the common fish here. You know, back in the day, there was Arctic char, which is part of the same family. You know, you have a brook trout as a char, just such as a lake trout as a char. But, even our brook trout were kind of introduced into more southern regions than what they were, you know, Mother Nature had.
Yeah, it's just, what has always been the norm in our lives, me being born in 66, prior to that, a lot of this wasn't here. I mean, we had lake trout. That was, if I'm correct, the native fish.
Yeah, lake trout was the native fish. Like I said, there was some smallmouth bass. Herring maybe, that kind of thing. But yeah, a brown trout fishery. Think about the Asaba River and the Hex Hatch and all that. Well, brown trout aren't native. You know, they came from Germany and they were stocked in the Pierre Marquette River in the late 1800s. And they even tried before that, you know, Atlantic salmon. They've been trying to stock Atlantic salmon since the late 1700s here in Michigan, up in the Sioux. And that's how the smelt got here. Smelt are not native. Smelt were stocked as a food source for Atlantic salmon. So, yeah, it's amazing how many fish that we fish for every day that are not, they're not from here.
No, you ain't from around here, are you? Sorry. It was all I could do.
Yeah, y'all ain't from here, yeah.
It was all I could do to ask you to not ask you to cut down a shrubbery with a herring, but I at least had to go with the yay from around here. Oh, man, the show's gotten out of hand. But literally, what I really enjoy about these conversations, and I have a lot of listeners tell me firsthand, is that, yes, this is an outdoors show, but it's not the where are the fish biting, what's the water temperature. It's not a fishing report show. We talk about, I think, everything but that. And it's a lot of cool information that I love sharing.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I really enjoy my outdoor, you know, my career as an outdoor writer and stuff like that, is just studying this stuff and really talking to people that know a heck of a lot more than I do. And, you know, I get the lowdown, I get the skinny of, you know, what was native, what wasn't native, how things have become what they are. And I it's really fascinating, and I hope every outdoor-oriented person out there, whether they're hunters, anglers, even kayakers, whatever, you know, just understand that, you know, this we're in a change, we're in a flux. I mean, it's just everything is changing in the Great Lakes and the Inland Lakes, and nothing is what it originally was.
No, I mean, when you have shipping and everything else that, you know, all these things are attaching themselves to or are being, you know, in ballast water and things of that nature, yeah, it's going to make a huge change, and it has been a huge change, but it hasn't always been for the worse.
No, it hasn't always been for the worse, you know, and we dealt with gobies for an example, but, you know, and so there's pluses, you know, the smallmouth bass and the walleye and all that, and even the lake trout, they love to eat gobies. It's a good, you know, healthy food source, but at the same time, they're seeing gobies when a fish spawns, like a smallmouth or lake trout or like that, those gobies will come in and eat the eggs. So, I mean, there's a, you know, plus and minus to every one of these invasive species.
Yeah, and I want to focus on a plus real quick. It's caused the industry to change what it does as well. We now have goby-colored plastics. We now have goby-looking lures. So, you know, I mean, that was a smart thing to do, is jump on the new trend, right? Just to help our economy above the waterline kind of grow.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, when it comes to the fishing industry, for example, I mean, when things change in the fishery, well, the lures change, and the whole marketing changes, and it's all part of the important everything. I just, yeah.
It's all very cyclical. Well, David, as always, man, thank you so much for joining us and giving us your information. And like you said, everybody that comes on this show knows a hell of a lot more than I do, but you guys make me look good.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to say, hey, you know, if Richard's listening, I've got to hang with Richard there at the Michigan Outdoor Writers Association conferences and stuff like that, and I'm looking forward to his new book.
I'm already perused it. I love it. And again, folks, if you want to find your own copy, Schuler Books in Meridian Mall or online, richardpsmith.com. David A. Rose, wildfishing.com is where you can find him. David, as always, thank you. Hang on, I'll talk to you off air. Thanks to our friends at Not Just Guns. Thanks to our friends at Conquest Sense. And thank you, everybody, for listening. More coming your way here on Wild Michigan on Michigan Talk Network.